Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. You know, Jesus told us, sin no more. Now, the word sin is very seldom used today. People have become so accustomed to sexual immorality, corruption, and wickedness that there is almost nothing society considers as evil.
And Bill, when a society exposes children to drag queens, encourages sex changes, same-sex marriage, abortion, including late term, and human trafficking, then what's left to call a sin?
Exactly.
You know, even when many people abandon morality, God does not. His word is settled forever, and truth doesn't change regardless of cultural and societal changes. Truth remains the same.
That's right.
It's no wonder that even some churches have been influenced to accept much of what the Bible forbids.
It's so true. You know, many state that they have their own morality apart from God. They do what they feel is right. However, without a belief in God, who is the one who established true morality, then morals and right and wrong become subjective. And you know, Charles Colson, in his book, How Now Shall We Live, page 21, said, if nature is all there is, then there is no transcendent source of moral truth, and we are left to construct morality on our own. Every principle is reduced to a personal preference. Then he said, by contrast, the Christian believes in a God who has spoken, who has revealed an absolute and unchanging standard of right and wrong based ultimately on his holy character.
So true. You know, that's good, Bill. Jesus also, he confronted those who were in sin, and he called their behavior what it was. He called it sin.
So true.
When the woman was caught in adultery, Jesus forgave her, but he said, go and sin no more. And that's in John 8:11. And when he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, he told him to go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And that's in John 5:14. So in that last verse, Jesus warned the man to stop sinning so something worse didn't happen to him. Throughout the Bible, God attempts to warn people to stop sinning and to turn and to follow his instructions and his commands.
That's right. You know, and just to share some Old Testament stories about people that have sinned, you know, in 2 Chronicles, it tells the story of King Jeroboam, who was king over Israel and wanted to go to battle against King Abijah, who was over Judah. The people of Judah were keeping the ways of the Lord, where the people of Israel were following Jeroboam and worshiping false gods. Abijah warned Jeroboam not to fight against him, for God was with them. Well, Jeroboam ignored God's warning, and, you know, he had 800,000 men armed for battle, where Judah had only 400,000 men. So Jeroboam was confident he would win the battle. But God was for the people of Judah. So they went to battle, but God smote 500,000 men of Jeroboam. Then after the slaughter, God smote Jeroboam. In verse 20, it says, and the Lord struck him and he died. Now, the Bible says that sin leads to death, and that's in Romans 6:23 and many other places. Now, Jeroboam wouldn't listen to God or King Abijah, so he had to learn the hard way.
Yes, and I know usually the punishment in the Old Testament was swift and it was quick,
right? That's right, yes.
When they sinned. You know, and the Lord warns us, though, today, because just like he did back then, because he loves us and he wants to protect us. So did you hear that?
Right?
He tells us to sin no more for our protection. I'm glad that he doesn't smote us, though, today, because
exactly.
We're in that church age of grace, thank God. But another story in the Bible, Bill, is about Nadab and Abihu. And they were the sons of Aaron and burned incense before the Lord, but didn't do it according to God's commands. And Leviticus 10:2 says, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Wow. In the Old Testament, God sometimes dealt with sin right on the spot.
That's so true.
But today in 2 Peter 2:9, it says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So to a large degree, God is holding off his punishment until the end. But sin will be dealt with. A person doesn't get away with their sin.
Exactly.
Right? Even though God is just so merciful in giving us so much grace today and giving people decades to repent, right?
Right. It's his long suffering today.
It's his long suffering.
And like you said, his grace over people that people aren't struck down right away like he did in the Old Testament. You know, one last story about the priest Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were also priests, even though 1 Samuel 2:12 says they knew not the Lord. I mean, these two guys were priests of the Lord, and they knew not, they didn't even know God. You know, as the people would come and bring a meat offering to the house of God, the two sons would take by force for themselves a larger portion than allowed by them. They would take a small portion of the offering, but instead they would take all of it. And the people grew weary of this forcing and thievery and no longer wanted to come to give their offerings. 1 Samuel 2:17 says, "Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." In other words, they didn't like going because they saw this injustice where he's stealing it, you know, and forcing it away from them.
So they hated to give to these thieves, but yet they had to keep the law. So they had to bring their offerings.
Exactly. You know, then in addition, the two sons would take the women by force to lay with them, the women who were charged with the service of the house of the Lord. So that was really diabolical. These women were there to service the house of the Lord, and he would force them. The two sons would force them to lay with them. 1 Samuel 2:22 says, "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting."
And their sin was greater because the women whom they corrupted were those dedicated, like you said, Bill, to the tabernacle service.
That's right.
So these men were extremely wicked. They were finally slain in battle in 1 Samuel 4:11. God is the one who saw to it that they died. As it says in 1 Samuel 2:25, the Lord would slay them.
Right.
And you ask, why didn't God slay them much earlier? And the Expositor's Study Bible gives us some insight. Page 470, it says, "The Lord, during Eli's time, he had withdrawn himself because of Israel's apostasy."
Right. So God was like, in a sense, turning his back. And so they got away with it for a while. But they didn't get away with it. They died in battle, and it wasn't that long after. So that was interesting. You know, God was also not pleased with Eli for not removing his sons from their position as priests over the people. So God revoked the priesthood lineage away from Eli and said, "There shall never be an old man in his house." That's 1 Samuel 2:31 through 36. All his descendants would die young forever in his lineage, and they would also beg for bread. So it's interesting that the two young sons of Eli used their youth to force the people, and now everyone would die young as their descendants, in their descendancy. And in addition, they took more food than allowed, and now they would beg for food. You know, the curse God pronounced over them was in accordance with the law of sowing and reaping. You know, it's interesting, I thought.
That is interesting. Yeah, it is in accordance to their deeds, right?
Right.
And in the law of sowing and reaping.
But
okay,
back to Jesus.
Back to Jesus. Okay, well, Jesus, Bill, he always spoke the truth with no fear or concern for what others might think or do. And we know God is love, and love always gives a choice. And we have free will, and it is still our choice whether we will listen to God's warnings and change our ways or if we will reject them. And, you know, as Christians, one of the takeaways here is we need to be aware of how easy it is to be deceived and slip into a sinful lifestyle if we allow ourselves. You know, once we sin, it's easier to do it again. And the more a person or a Christian sins and ignores the Holy Spirit's dealings with us, the more our heart will become hardened against God's warnings. Right?
So true, yes.
And after a time, the Lord will stop warning us, and that's really scary.
That would be a scary time. You know, Proverbs 29, 1 says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So, you know, that should put the fear of God in us. And then Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know, sin deceives us, you know?
No, absolutely. You know, and I think, too, that's like some Christians that have come out of, say, maybe they had an alcoholic parent or they were addicted to drugs or alcohol before. Now, if it's many years later, they've been clean, they've been walking with the Lord, and then they think, well, I can just have a little drink, a little sip, or I'll just toast here at the celebration. You know, they can very easily slip back into that addiction
right. And
be deceived, and now it comes back on them even worse because they open the door to it, and the devil's right there to take advantage.
Exactly.
Right, and come in.
So true.
You know, and Bill, that reminds me of the scripture in James 1:13-16, and that's quite insightful. These verses reveal the progression of sin, and it states, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." But notice here in the scripture, he is speaking to Christians and warns them not to be deceived. And being tempted is not the sin. It's when a person acts on the evil desire that it becomes sin.
That's so true.
And when a person continues to practice sin, it eventually gives birth to death. Satan is the external source of the temptation, but no one can blame him solely when the evil lies within the heart of the individual.
That's true. What
that's revealing.
That's right. You know, the problem is I believe people are not reading their Bible. In addition, many fall prey to the sloppy grace message and believe that, well, God understands their shortcomings. They rationalize their sin by telling themselves, "God knows I mean well." You know, so that's part of that sloppy grace message. You know, but for the real Christian, obedience is not an option. Many do what they feel is right. Now, our opinion and feelings mean nothing. It's what the Bible instructs us to do that matters. You know, make His Word the authority over your life, and you will protect yourself from deception and run from sin's temptations.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org. If you enjoyed today's podcast,